Today is Thursday, March 28th. We're talking about the investigation into the Baltimore Bridge collapse, what officials are now saying about how the bridge was constructed. Also remembering a longtime senator who often teamed up with his colleagues across the aisle. And why there's a public health emergency in Puerto Rico. Plus, it's about to get more expensive to drive around NYC. Which cities have been ranked the worst for allergies in the U.S.? And what to expect from the first full day of Major League Baseball? Those stories and even more news to know next. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Investigators have started to piece together more information from the night of a Baltimore bridge collapse, starting with the cargo ship that hit the bridge. They started reviewing information from the ship's black box recorder. They also boarded the ship, which is still mostly intact, and they interviewed the ship's two pilots and 21 regular crew members who are still staying on board. The U.S. Coast Guard now says the ship actually got routine engine maintenance in port before the crash. But it's not clear if that had anything to do with the power outage that made it go off course. The ship was traveling under a Singapore flag, and officials there say they'll conduct their own investigation on top of supporting the American one. Officials are also looking into the bridge itself. And the head of the National Transportation Safety Board said the Francis Scott Key Bridge was constructed in such a way that it was more vulnerable to collapse than newer bridges. The full investigation could take up to 2 years. The Coast Guard's next priorities are to get the ship out of the water and restore the waterway for shipping. At the White House, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says the federal government is focused on reopening the port and rebuilding the bridge, but he warned it will be a long and difficult path to full recovery. Goods worth $100 to $200 million move through the port each day. So today, Buttigieg is also scheduled to meet with supply chain officials. Texas faced another setback in its attempt to beef up immigration laws. For the second time now, a federal appeals court has put a temporary hold on the new state law that lets any Texas law enforcement officer arrest and deport migrants accused of entering the country illegally. The same panel of appeals judges will actually hear arguments on the law next week. Now, remember, this is the law that the U.S. Justice Department has been fighting against, arguing it's the federal government's job to regulate immigration and that this law interferes. But Texas is still pushing for it to go into effect, saying it needs to act since the federal government isn't doing enough on its own. Coming up this Saturday, we're talking to the woman known as America's government teacher, you might know her as Sharon Says So, all about this back and forth in this case, as well as what to know about the immigration laws already on the books and who has the power to do anything about it. That's this weekend's special edition Saturday episode. Well, today, the U.S. is saying goodbye to a longtime senator who became the first Jewish American to be nominated on a major party's ticket. Joe Lieberman's family says he died yesterday from complications from a fall. Although Lieberman was registered as a Democrat, he always said he didn't fit comfortably into the conventional political boxes. Throughout his 24-year Senate career, Lieberman supported abortion rights, environmental protections, gay rights, and gun control. But unlike other Democrats, he was known as a hawk of foreign affairs. And he became one of the legislative fathers of the Department of Homeland Security. Lieberman was chosen as Democrat Al Gore's running mate for the 2000 presidential election, one of the closest elections in American history. Then Republican John McCain considered picking him as his running mate in 2008. And Lieberman gave a speech in which he endorsed McCain at the 2008 Republican convention. Just last year, Lieberman helped lead the No Labels Group, which is a political organization designed to give Americans a third option in elections. That group is still looking for a candidate to go up against President Biden and former President Trump in November. Russia seems to have stepped up online disinformation campaigns that are harder to trace and stop than past efforts. The New York Times reports campaigns linked to Russia's president and military include lookalike websites that are fake versions of legitimate news sites in the U.S. and elsewhere. That's on top of their influence campaigns on social media. And American intelligence agencies say they don't think the Russian government has begun its full-scale effort just yet. The experts say Russia's top goal is to lay the groundwork to support candidates who are against helping Ukraine or who call for pulling the U.S. back from NATO and other alliances. And it's expected to step things up before the November election in the U.S. NASA has unveiled the first moon toolkit for astronauts since the Apollo missions. It's in preparation for Artemis III moon mission, set to launch in 2026. Three tools were picked because they do actually require humans to install them. One of them is a gadget designed to monitor moonquakes. Scientists are hoping it will help them better understand how the moon was formed and evolved over time. The next tool is an experiment meant to study the potential for growing crops on the moon. China did something similar a few years ago and was able to sprout a single cottonseed. But NASA is hoping to actually grow plants through a full growth cycle. And lastly, there's an analyzer designed to measure how electrically conductive the soil is. It will also be able to search for possible signs of frost and ice deposits. NASA says overall, the goal is to lay the groundwork for a long-term human presence on the moon, which will then lead to crewed missions to Mars as well. More news still ahead, but first, support for this episode comes from OneSkin. It is spring now, and I thought it was interesting to learn that our skin goes through a big transition between seasons, not just on the surface, but at the cellular level. So yes, protecting our skin against the sun's UV rays is important, but so is nurturing our skin even beyond that. OneSkin's products actually work from the inside out with their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. And I love when there's good data to back a product up. In a third-party 12-week clinical study performed by third-party research organization, OS1 Face, which I use every morning and night, by the way, was clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier, improve skin health markers, and diminish visible signs of aging. Wrinkles were diminished in 87% of users. And I can share that my personal experience aligns. I can truly tell the difference in how my skin looks and feels after just a few months of using it twice a day. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code NEWSWORTHY at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code NEWSWORTHY. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, so please be sure to support our show and tell them we sent you. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. Now back to the news. New York City is moving forward with America's first congestion tolls. Transit officials approved a $15 fee for drivers headed to the busiest part of Manhattan, the Central Business District, during daylight hours. The tolls are higher for larger vehicles like sightseeing buses and lower for motorcycles or late-night drivers. Supporters say this will push more people to use public transportation and free up the roads to speed up public buses and emergency vehicles that don't have to pay. Plus, the money made from tolls will go toward improving the subway system. But critics argue the fees are just a burden on workers, especially those who commute from other states or boroughs and already spend $15 in bridge and tunnel tolls. They also say the extra cost will mean goods driven to the city by truck will become more expensive. If the congestion pricing plan survives legal challenges, it is expected to go into effect in June. Puerto Rico has issued a public health emergency in response to an unusually fast rise in dengue cases. The island has recorded about 550 cases of the mosquito-borne disease just so far this year. That's a 140% increase as compared to the same time last year. Most people who get dengue will either be asymptomatic or only deal with mild symptoms like fever, muscle and joint pain, and nausea. But in rare cases, dengue can be serious and potentially deadly, and there's no specific medicine to treat it. So Puerto Rico's public health emergency now includes early detection, education, and more. Dengue has been surging other places as well, like Brazil, Peru, and Argentina. The CDC has issued warnings for Americans traveling to several tropical and subtropical areas. It says the best way to protect yourself is to avoid getting bitten by mosquitoes. And you can do that the usual ways, like using insect repellent, wearing loose-fitting clothing that covers your arms and legs, and so on. It seems the legal saga between Disney and Florida's government is finally coming to an end. This week, Walt Disney Co. reached a settlement with allies of Governor Ron DeSantis over control of Disney World's special tax district. To recap, for half a century, Disney basically acted with the same authority as a county government. But Governor DeSantis signed a bill last year to take control of that district. He handed that authority over to the new Central Florida Tourism Oversight District and appointed members to a board of supervisors. DeSantis says he wanted to make sure Disney paid its fair share of taxes. But the timing caused a lot of backlash. The governor's push for the change came when Disney publicly clashed with him over what critics call the Don't Say Gay law, the one that keeps educators from giving lessons on sexual orientation or gender identity. So Disney filed a lawsuit against the governor over allegations that the state was just retaliating and violating the company's First Amendment rights. And it went back and forth in court for a while. Well, this new settlement ends that legal fight. The newly supervised district does stay in place, but the agreement means some of the deals made before that change will be voided. It also suggests Disney and the new board will negotiate a new development agreement in the near future. Dollar Tree is raising prices again. The discount chain announced its items will now range from $125 to $7, a big hike from the $5 price limit set less than a year ago. Dollar Tree says it's changing things up as a way to add new products. Items closer to $7 will include food and snacks, as well as pet and personal care products. But the store says it will keep introducing new, lower-cost items, too. Dollar Tree CEO says customers will be able to afford the new pricing model, too, since the chain is apparently seeing more and more customers who earn more than six figures a year. This also comes as the chain is going through a bit of an overhaul, opening hundreds of Dollar Tree stores while closing hundreds of Family Dollar stores. Several thousand stores are still standing. Baseball fans, the wait is over. Today is opening day for most teams in the MLB. This is an exciting one since several stars are set to debut with new teams, and some top prospects are coming up to the big leagues for the first time. All 30 teams were supposed to play today for the second straight year, but a couple of games in New York and Philadelphia ended up having to be postponed today because of rain in the forecast. The Texas Rangers are defending World Series champions, but the Los Angeles Dodgers are entering the new season as favorites. Of course, anything can happen. The regular season continues through the end of September. That's it for the main news today, so now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. But first, I want to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, Vessi. I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout. Now back to Thing to Know Thursday. Spring allergy season is here and getting worse. Of course, a lot of you already know that since it's believed more than 100 million Americans deal with allergies, making them one of the most common medical conditions in the country. And now, research has shown that spring allergy seasons are beginning about 20 days earlier than they used to. Plus, pollen concentrations have risen about 20% since 1990 all around the country. Scientists point to the effects of climate change, like warmer weather, more carbon dioxide, and more days without frost, as reasons for the extra intense allergy seasons. Still, a lot of it depends on where you live. Just this week, the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America released a new report on the most challenging places to live with allergies. Number one on the list is Wichita, Kansas, followed by Virginia Beach, Greenville, South Carolina, Dallas, Texas, and Oklahoma City. All right, thank you so much for listening today and making us part of your daily routine. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.